B-Pod Studios.
Our friend Peter Arnett is in Hong Kong right now. Peter, how are you?
I'm jet lagged. That's why I'm on the phone with you at about 3:45 in the morning Hong Kong time.
Holy cow. Explain to us, Peter, you are in Hong Kong right now and you are trying to get into Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Well, I'm actually in Hong Kong on a previous assignment. I'm editing a magazine called Global Vision, and I'm here doing interviews, and this is a previous assignment. But I am interested in covering that whole conflict over there, yeah, because I have been in and out of Afghanistan often in the last 20 years. I know a lot of the players, so I am interested in getting there, but, you know, I will sooner than later.
Now, Peter, you've sat down face-to-face with Osama bin Laden. What's your impression of him?
Well, that was 4 years ago, and it was in a cave on top of a mountain in the southern part of Afghanistan, and he was a formidable-looking man. He has to be 6'4", 6'5". He wore a tall turban, making him look like a, you know, an NBA basketball player size. He walked in with a Kalashnikov rifle. And when he sat down and when he started the interview, he had that rifle by him next to his right hand. And, you know, he was ready for anything. Had to be careful what I asked him in terms of questions.
Now, you, from what I've heard, I mean, he is quite aware of his position in the world as far as how so many Muslims and people of Islam look to him. From what I've heard from other people that have interviewed him, I mean, you talk to him in a cave, but he is surrounded by people. You are he is brought to you. You're not quite sure exactly where you're at, and they treat him with a great deal of respect, don't they?
Well, you know, they were concerned about security. There was no doubt about it. And I was with CNN at the time, and I went up with a cameraman and a producer, and they checked us out very thoroughly for several days at a hotel in Jalalabad. When we finally went up that mountain early evening, they blindfolded us, checked us several times at body searches, and told us. Frankly, they said, if you have any kind of tracking device, if you've swallowed something that will allow your location to be discovered, we'll kill you. You know, simple as that. So tell us now. And up we went, and indeed, when we did arrive, we noticed, in the moonlight, there were 20 or 30 well-armed young Arab men. And so the security was there. He arrived an hour later in a vehicle of some kind. We didn't see it. After the interview, after about an hour and a half, we sipped tea, then he disappeared, and they didn't let us move for another 3 hours. So clearly security was important to them.
Sitting and talking to him, did you get the impression that you were talking to a nutball or just a calculated fanatical figure?
You know, I'm always asked that. I've interviewed, you know, Fidel Castro, Saddam Hussein, Yasser Arafat, and Radovan Karadzic, the Bosnian leader, and people generally say, you know, these guys are nuts, aren't they? And yet, probably in the end, they are. But when you meet them, they've prepared for these interviews. You know, they know you're coming. And in the case of bin Laden, we had to give a pretty good idea of what we wanted to ask him. We had to prepare questions in advance, but we went beyond those. But he wanted, you know, a general idea of what we were saying. But they're pretty calculating people. Saddam Hussein and the others, they're very pleasant when you meet them. They reveal their diplomatic selves. You know, they aren't abusive at all. Now, some leaders have been abusive to journalists in Africa, but the ones I've interviewed haven't. So you don't leave with the feeling that these guys are screwballs. However, if you analyze what they tell you in response to your questions, then you get sort of the chilling reality that, these guys are evil.
With your knowledge of the region and the principles, what do you think is going on at this point?
From which side? I mean, clearly with the Afghan side, bin Laden is trying to figure out which, you know, hideout he'll be going to. He has at least three or four. You know, bin Laden moved into Afghanistan during the Russian invasion, and his family, a very wealthy construction family, and he brought over to Afghanistan heavy equipment, road building equipment, and all sorts of stuff. So he built simple sort of bypasses over the mountains. He built tunnels, or he extended caves into tunnels. So he'll be figuring out which one to go to. And I, you know, and I'm sure the Taliban, his so-called protectors, they're also trying to figure out, you know, what they will do if indeed there is a major assault. In the meantime, of course, we know the population is fleeing.
Now, Peter, we keep hearing on American television over here the Northern Alliance, who wants Osama bin Laden out of there as badly as we do. I'm hearing also with news reports that Russia is thinking about supplying the Northern Alliance with weapons.
And meanwhile, we've got Pakistan, who can't stand the Northern Alliance, supposedly on our side as well.
This is a balancing act we're doing here, is it not, Peter?
Well, I think the Northern Alliance is a key to a lot of this. I've been up to visit the Northern Alliance at Ahmad Shah Massoud, who was the leader, the charismatic leader. They call him the Lion of Panjshir, which is a big belly. He was assassinated 3 weeks ago, possibly by bin Laden's people. But I've been up there, and I know quite a few of their principals. They want to take back Afghanistan from the Taliban because they were ruling in Kabul when the Taliban emerged and overthrew them and took power violently, you know, 4 years ago. So they want to come back. And the Russians actually have been supplying them for months. And the question is, what, to my mind, what will the U.S. do to beef up their abilities? Because I'm sure they're in a position to maybe take the capital sooner than later with a little bit of U.S. and Russian help. Now, you're right about Pakistan. Pakistan's concerned about the Northern Alliance because they represent, you know, the Central Asians, Tajiks and Uzbeks and others, whereas the Taliban represent the populations that are in Pakistan. It is a balancing act. I agree.
What now? And you brought his name up because you sat down with the man, Saddam Hussein. We're also hearing, did Iraq have any involvement in this thing? What's the tie-in between Saddam and bin Laden? And is this going to be just a continuation of getting Saddam Hussein later on down the line in this war on terrorism to get him out? What is your feeling about that? Where is the Iraq connection in this thing? And do you honestly, reporter, gut feeling, is Saddam Hussein involved in any of this?
Well, I just read the papers like everyone else these days.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when I interviewed bin Laden, I did ask him at one point, what did he think of Saddam Hussein? And he talked about the Iraqi people being victims of American imperialism, you know, blood running in the gutters and the rest. But he sort of characterized Saddam Hussein as being basically a puppet of the West. He didn't give any sign that he was in league with Saddam at that point, but that was 4 years ago.
Sure.
Now, we do know that Saddam is financing certainly the Palestinians. His agents are in the streets of, you know, the West Bank giving away money openly. And it's pretty clear that, you know, that people with a beef against the U.S. are going to get support from Iraq. I mean, Iraq, I believe, is the only country in the world, with the exception of the Taliban, that hasn't expressed regrets for the World Trade Center bombing. But to tie him into the Al-Qaeda, the actual terrorist group, is not easy, clearly. But, you know, Saddam is part of the problem. I think one of the problems, this problem was created. There are many reasons, but I think the main reason for this growth of terrorism was the U.S. unwillingness to get Saddam in 1991. They'd gone up and gotten out Saddam. You wouldn't have U.S. forces today in Saudi Arabia, and there'd be less reason for bin Laden to be able to attract adherents.
Peter, clear this up for me, and I'm hearing that so much lately with a lot of the reporters saying this. If back in 1990, George Bush Sr. had gone forward into to get Saddam Hussein into Iraq, that would have broken up the alliance that was set up initially because they just wanted to get his armies out of Kuwait, right or wrong?
Wrong. Hate to say that.
Okay.
The reality. Now, first of all, there have been several major defectors from Iraq in the last several years. They've all said that they could not understand why the U.S. and the coalition didn't come to Baghdad to get Saddam. He was vulnerable. His army was in pieces. the population would have risen up against him. Now, I was in Baghdad. I was waiting, you know, for the Marines to arrive,
sure,
to tell you the truth, and the tanks to come up. It could have been done in about a day and a half from Basra and their bases along the Euphrates River. The U.S. could have got him. The coalition could have got him. It would have been over real quickly. You would have put in place there troops from the Arab world. The U.S. could have got in and out pretty quickly. So I don't think it was a coalition thing. It was one of the excuses used by the Bush people to justify them not getting him. But remember, Norman Schwarzkopf went on record briefly in an interview with David Frost at the end of the first interview to say he wanted to go to Baghdad. Then he later said he didn't, but I think he wanted to go to Baghdad to get Saddam.
Especially when you look on the map, when they're highlighting Afghanistan and Pakistan, looming large there, and a country that you have not heard a lot about in this is Iran. And in my mind, there's probably nobody that hates the United States more than them. What is their role in this?
Well, you know, the Iran hates the Taliban more than they hate the U.S.
Huh.
You know, the extremist mullahs, you know, preach that the U.S. is the great Satan. But, you know, the U.S. is an ocean or two away, a continent or two away. The Taliban are right next door. The Taliban preach a brand of Islam which is anathema to the Iranians. You know, they fear the bin Laden Taliban version of Islam, and they're concerned about it. They've got, you know, many hundreds of thousands of Afghan refugees on their borders. They don't like the Taliban. So, you know, it's the old story, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I think it's pretty clear that Iran intelligence and government people are privately talking, well, publicly talking to the British, but they're privately talking to the U.S. to figure out how they can help in this.
So if this stays isolated to Afghanistan, we have nothing to fear from Iran, and in fact, they're helping us.
Well, nothing to fear in the short term. In the long term, who knows? But I think you've got to look at this whole picture. You know, the isolation of the Taliban is remarkable to me. I mean, you've got these countries around. Whatever Pakistan may feel about the Northern Alliance, they are going along with U.S. requirements or hopes or suggestions that they be supportive of sort of an embargo, building a wall around the Taliban. And then you have Iran. Then you have Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and China, all firmly opposed to the Taliban. This is a unique moment. You know, a whole country surrounded. You've got to go back to, say, Iraq and in the Gulf War time to see a similar situation.
Peter, I want to thank you for spending some time with us. Stay safe, and look forward to speaking with you again on this. It's always good to hear from you.
Well, Stan and Haney, look, it's always great to be with you guys.
Peter, thanks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.